Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Friday, March 3rd, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. It's Friday. We're rushing around like crazy today, but we have a very, very, very special guest on today, one of the finest writers about the New World Order that there has ever been. It's Mr. Des Griffin. He's the author of his two most well-known books, Descent into Slavery and also Fourth Reich of the Rich.
I love that book.
It is. It's great. He's also the founder of Emissary Publications and the editor of The Midnight Messenger, which we receive here at Wing TV. So, without further ado, we'd like to welcome on one of the best writers ever on the New World Order, Mr. Des Griffin. How you doing, Des?
Hi, Des.
Hi, fine. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for coming on. I've been meaning to interview you for years, and I don't know how I've never gotten around to it. But before we jump into the questions, let everybody know how they can find Emissary Publications, how they can find your books, and so forth.
We have three ways. You can call us at area code 503-824-2050, or you can go on the web at midnightemissary.com.
Okay.
You can email us at midnight. But anyway,
we'll get to that at the end of the show. We'll bring it up again. So, well, what we're going to do today is we're going to ask questions from Des's two books. I'm going to ask from Descent into Slavery, and Lisa's going to ask from Fourth Reich of the Rich. And my first question, Des, revolves around the Federal Reserve. And I just want to bring up a few points that you mentioned from some famous politicians. Andrew Jackson called the Federal Reserve a den of vipers. Congressman Lewis McFadden called the Federal Reserve, they called them financial pirates. And John Hyland, who is the former mayor of New York City, called the Fed a giant octopus. So what I'd like to have you do is describe what a vast detrimental effect this institution has on the United States of America.
Well, one of the problems with the Fed is that, number one, it's a private corporation,
mm-hmm.
For profit, and it is an absolute opposition to what our founding fathers originally had in mind. Because the ability to create money was given exclusively to the Congress,
right,
who under pressure in 1913 handed all of that over into the hands of a private corporation of the international bankers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to talk about this other book, Fourth Reich of the Rich. You begin this book talking about truth and lies, and I really found this to be so interesting. You compared truth with lies, and we're always asking people if truth matters. Des, how do we cope with knowledge that's not immediately acceptable to our mental computers and that our ego rejects?
How do we handle that? Say conversations?
Uh-huh.
When we try to tell people about the New World Order or about what really happened on 9/11 or a variety of other subjects, the Federal Reserve, anything, how do we get past the cognitive dissonance?
Well, mainly what we need to do is to continue to sow seeds.
Mm-hmm.
People, of course, are so brainwashed and essentially ignorant of basic reality, that when they hear a basic reality, it's inclined to turn them off. And one of the very important rules is don't antagonize people.
Mm-hmm.
One friend of mine used the method of asking questions, mm-hmm. of people. In the course of a conversation, they say, "I've been reading some material. I'd like your opinion on it."
That's good.
And that possibly could open a door.
Uh-huh.
But one important rule is that you can't give people answers unless they have questions.
That's a good
point. And very, very few people today, unfortunately, have questions.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, really. Now, Des, we could sit here and talk for an entire week about the Rothschilds and the Rothschild family. So for the sake of brevity, since we don't have a lot of time, give us what you think is the key to understanding the Rothschilds, who you call the first international bankers.
Well, their main objective, of course, is to control the whole world. And basically, in one way or another, they have done that for close to 2,000 years now, mm-hmm. up to, sorry, 200 years, ever since they took over England following the Battle of Waterloo, and then within the next few years they conquered France and other European countries, and he set up his five sons in five European capitals, and then of course in 1913 the Rothschilds of the international bankers were very much instrumental in creating the privately owned Federal Reserve.
Right, right.
And, of course, since that time, it's been all downhill.
Right.
It sure has.
In Fourth Reich of the Rich, you talk about how vital a nation America was in the 40s, and as the 40s ended, how the U.S. hit its peak, commanded a greater percentage of the world's riches. We were in a league of our own regarding technology know-how. We outstripped other nations by far on many different levels. What's happened over the years? Something went terribly wrong. Can you compare today to the 40s? What's going on in our country?
Well, in Descent into Slavery, I've got a section in there of what is called urban renewal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the idea, the principles of urban renewal are very important because when urban renewers want to develop an area, they create the conditions under which that area is basically condemned, so that the value of the property in that area will go down. Mm-hmm. And then, when various property owners or store owners, etc., start going broke, are declaring bankruptcy, then they step in and buy all the property or the land at bargain prices. And then they come in and they urban renew that particular area. Well, we've seen this worked out repeatedly on the American scene over the last, well, many, 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 many years. However, we've also seen it on an international level. And World War II was basically the urban renewing of Germany.
Mm-hmm.
They had to destroy the old system, our nationalism in Germany, etc., and also they had to destroy the independence and national fervor of Japan.
Well, since you mentioned that, Des, that was one of the questions I was going to get to. So, in your book, you say that America didn't need to drop the atomic bombs on Nagasaki and Hiroshima, that this was instead a program of urban renewal. So describe a little bit more in depth this concept, and do you think it's applicable today to, say, a city like New Orleans?
Well, a number of other people have raised that basic issue. And now, of course, it's come out within the last few days that the Bush administration were very much aware,
yep,
of the dangers that existed as that storm was approaching New Orleans about 6 months ago.
Uh-huh.
However, for one reason or another, and it hasn't emerged quite clearly now, but it is possible that somebody up at top may have said, well, we just let the whole thing go and wipe out the whole area.
Mm-hmm.
A few weeks after the storm, there was an article, which I have somewhere in my files, from the New York Times. And a number of very wealthy people down in New Orleans held a party at one of their homes, and they had a big barbecue, and everybody was celebrating the fact that much of New Orleans had been wiped out. And basically what they said, we've been trying to get that, shall we say, those people out of there for decades and decades and decades without any success. And now this so-called natural catastrophe has done what we've been hoping to do for 20 or 30 or 40 years.
With a little nudging, I think, from the U.S.
Well,
government.
Well, there again, that's a distinct possibility,
right.
Although we don't have any concrete evidence of that.
Yeah.
But it is very probable that within the next few months or a year or so, those big developers will be able to come in and buy property that possibly could have cost them $100,000. That's around, think of, say, a plot of ground. They may be able to pick up that for a couple of $1,000.
You're right. Yeah, you're right.
Yes, in this book, The Fourth Reich of the Rich, you describe how the pillars of our society have steadily eroded since we entered the 20th century. And you ask the question, are we a nation of people without any transcendental goals or purpose in being? Have we become a nation which stands for nothing but will fall for anything? Is that what we've become?
As a matter of fact, there's a very interesting, well, a couple of things. There's a document that I quote in Fourth Reich of the Rich.
Mm-hmm.
It's from 1904, and it's basically a Rockefeller plan as of 102 years ago.
Right.
And it said, in our dreams, we have limitless resources, and the rural folks will yield themselves with perfect docility into our molding hands. We know that what the Rockefellers were planning on at that time was to take over the education system of the United States. And then, of course, over the next few years, in the teens and 20s of the last century, they did develop and finance teachers' colleges and then universities. And those turned out the what were called change agents.
Mm-hmm.
You could be sent into the schools and colleges to brainwash the American public. But it's interesting, in that document from 1904, they mentioned having unlimited resources. But those limitless resources didn't materialize until the 1960s. And something was needed to shake the American nation away from the education system they had. But it's interesting that we had the ability to go into outer space way ahead of the Russians.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I believe that we gave the Russians the technology whereby they could do it. And then, of course, that created a major major crisis. It was a created crisis. So the cry went out that we need to improve our educational system.
Yeah. What we call it here is not public education, it's public indoctrination.
With that perceived need then opened up the way for, quote, limitless resources, unquote, to be given to the school system by the federal government.
Yeah. Well, Des, your book, Descent into Slavery, is one of the best history books I've ever read, and we know that the Rothschilds financed both sides of the Civil War, but let's move forward to World War I and World War II. Can you tell us how the Zionist influences manipulated the United States, England, Russia, and even Germany during those two wars?
Well, what's interesting, a Jewish historian, Benjamin Friedman,
yep.
He wrote a little book, maybe 35, 40 years ago. It's got Tyranny in the title. I can't remember the exact title of it.
Yeah, we're familiar with him.
But he relates how during the teens and 20s of the last century, he personally and individually was working among these people, and he met all the leaders. He knew all the leaders, and he knew what was going on. And he says in there that that they deliberately maneuvered the United States into a situation where they would come to the aid of Britain in World War One, and that, of course, has had a tremendous impact on world history. And basically, they did the same thing in World War Two.
Right. With Adolf Hitler, yeah.
When we question international conspiracy, I always am reminded of George W. Bush's words that we shouldn't entertain outrageous conspiracy theories. Yet you say, when it comes to international conspiracy, we must ask and answer two questions. Can it be proven, and does it fit the grim reality of the world we live in? Does an international conspiracy answer both of those questions in the affirmative, as far as what we're seeing going on in our world and in our country today?
Well, it's no longer a conspiracy. It is probably so out in the open and, shall we say, in your face.
Yeah.
That it'd be very, very hard to deny its reality.
Well, what are they so afraid of if they can't be stopped? I mean, they've been at this a long time. Can they be stopped? Is that what they fear?
That answer comes mainly from one among other people, Dr. Carol Quigley, in his book Tragedy and Hope.
Mm-hmm.
And and also there's a statement that David Rockefeller made at the Bilderberger meeting in 1991, I believe it was, where he thanked the editors and the publishers of the big magazines and newspapers in the United States for their cooperation mm-hmm. in not reporting what was actually happening or what had happened and was planned to happen in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And he said without their cooperation, it would have been much more difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
I should have said it would have been absolutely impossible.
Yeah, exactly. Now, when I was reading through again, I've read Descent into Slavery a couple times, and I've come to the conclusion that the worst president ever, at least in my opinion, was Woodrow Wilson. And we know during his tenure in the White House, in 1913, we had the Federal Reserve Act. We had the introduction of the federal income tax. And he also dragged us into World War One. Tell us how Colonel House and others had such a strong influence on this man, almost like a puppet.
Well, in his book, Philip Drew Administrator,
yeah.
Which was published the year before Wilson came into the presidency, House laid out in that novel essentially what originally it was published anonymously.
Mm-hmm.
However, in later years it emerged that in actual fact E. Mandel House was the author of it. And he laid out almost perfectly, I mean, point by point by point by point, how they had selected such individuals as Woodrow Wilson, and later, of course, FDR, and how they manipulate them, and how they control them, and how they push them to the front, and make them do what the powers behind the scenes want them to do.
Yes. At the time you wrote this book, you said we're not fighting a physical or political enemy alone. We are fighting against principalities, against powers. And if the word Illuminism is derived from the word Lucifer, then we're really fighting against Satan. And how do we defeat Satan?
Well, okay. That's what you just said is probably the most basic of basic realities.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we grasp and understand that fact, we'll never really understand what the world is all about, particularly at this time.
Mm-hmm.
As far as we can't defeat a spiritual power, or Lucifer, or Satan, or however we describe him, physically, it has to be done spiritually. But of course, we don't have the power ourselves. But as Scripture says in Matthew 28, quoting the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I've been given all power and all authority. Now, I believe that history and Scripture shows that at this present time, Satan has been given, or Lucifer has been given, the power and control over the nations and over the individuals. But I believe his time is running out. And then he was defeated when, this is interestingly enough, I can't quote the scripture right off my head, but it says that had the authorities realized, or had Satan realized what he was doing when he had Christ crucified, then he would have never done it. Because his death, then his resurrection, and then his ascension sealed his fate.
That's a good point. That's a
so we need a spiritual revolution.
There are a couple of scriptures over in Revelation 17, which indicate that the time will come when that the new world order will be within that very, very short space of taking over complete control. They will be out so spiritually insane that they will actually attack Jesus Christ himself at his return.
Yeah, well, I don't doubt that for a second. Now, Jess, I have one more question for you, but before I do, give out that phone number once again and also your website address.
Phone number is area code 503-824-2050.
Okay.
And the website is Midnight Emissary. That's all one word. Use it all one word. MidnightEmissary.com.
And that's EMISSARY.
Midnight that is correct.
Emissary. All right. And the books here, Fourth Reich of the Rich, also Descent into Slavery, plus many, many other books and videos available there. The last question I want to touch upon, Des, is we hear all this talk today about Iran and nuclear capabilities and so forth. But if we go back to Franklin D. Roosevelt, his terms in the White House, and we know that before the atomic bombs were ever dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, he was actually working for the internationalists, and he was selling the nuclear know-how and also the raw materials to Russia before we ever even dropped the bombs in 45, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about what would make a man so evil to do something like that?
Well, of course, as I pointed out elsewhere, basically, a baby of socialism, which we basically have in this country now, is just one arm of the international conspiracy.
Right.
The movement to create a new world order. And also, communism is also an arm of the international conspiracy. And the United States was tremendously influential in the financing of the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917. And when FDR came into power in 1933, the Bolshevik government, or the communist government in the Soviet Socialist Republics, so called, in the Soviet Union, was on the brink of collapse. But it was FDR and his friends in the White House and in the State Department who stepped in and saved the Soviet Union from total collapse.
It's just unforgivable what that man did on so many different levels. Well, Des, I wish we had about 3 hours with you today. I mean, your books, there's
we'll
so
have to
many
get them
questions.
Back on.
Exactly. There's just so much information. And I just want to let everyone know again that if these two books aren't in your library, they should be, because this is history at its finest. This is history that you're not going to find at your public library and so forth. So, Des, we just want to thank you once again.
Very much so.
And just urge you to keep up the great work.
I'm glad to have the opportunity, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Des. And we'll be back again on Monday with another edition of Wing TV. Until then, we hope everyone has a good weekend. Read Lisa's article today about the alternative media. It's
read Des's books.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm kind of hot under the collar about some of these things that have been going on in the alternative media. So we're going to talk about that on Monday and whatever else is on our minds or on your minds. So until then, keep your eyes open, because there's a lot going on.
Have a good weekend, everyone.